Okay, I'm ready.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Hey, and the vegan, we traveled this on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, finally got to talk to you. We have Dennis from Sweden.
Yay. Yes, hello.
Welcome to the Du Radio. Yes. I was saying it right.
Yes.
I'm trying to speak Swedish here.
You're doing very well.
Thank you.
Yes,
oh, tack, tack. Jag hade en rolig att prata på svenska.
Jag antar att du inte får prata så mycket svenska.
Oh, tack så mycket. So, I'm just boasting that I can speak a little bit of Swedish here.
Quite a lot, actually.
Oh, thank you.
More than some of my coworkers even. So.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, working in like an international company. So it's a lot of people from different countries.
I see. Yeah, I've heard your guest talk on Sean's podcast.
I switched jobs since then. Same company,
oh, really?
But different position.
Hey.
So I work towards video game publishing now. I used to do testing. And now I work towards publishing.
Publishing? Cool. Do you like it better?
Yeah, I like it better. I did testing for about 7-8 years. And now it was a better career opportunity for me.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, great promotion. I never knew that there was like a job for game testing. I didn't know.
I remember when I was younger, my parents used to say when I played a lot of video games, oh, you can't make a living out of this. So
I proved them wrong at least. That is so amazing. I look up to people who can play games well because I suck so bad. I'm like the worst. So that's really cool. I have a bunch of questions actually.
Yeah, sure. And I have a case prepared.
Yes, that's so cool. So let me see here. Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about your loved word horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's your biggest passion, yeah?
Yeah.
You describe yourself as horror otaku.
Yes.
Otaku is a Japanese word.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty known in everywhere in the world now. You have an insane collection of everything horror. I wanted to ask you how to get into that.
I think I've been always kind of into it, but I would say when I was around maybe 10, where I started to have friends that was into it and started talking about it. And then when I was going to like video store to rent movies, well, I started to go to the horror section. And I think I was 11 or 12. My parents couldn't stop take the nagging of me wanting to rent the horror movies anymore. So they signed me up with like a card so I could just go and rent the movies.
Mm.
In Sweden, you have like the age limit is like 15. We usually don't have like 18 or anything like that. So I could just go rent any movies that they had in the horror section because everything was like 15. So I started to go doing that. And I remember there was a specific store where you could rent 5 movies at a time for like a fixed price. So me and a friend started doing that basically.
Yeah. So when you become an adult, did you buy all the movies that you watched back then, material?
I started to collect them digitally first. Because that was so much cheaper. So I had like hard drives and hard drives of movies. I've just kind of recently started to buy a lot, but it's been like in like periods. When I got around 17, 18, I bought a lot of movies. And then as the years go by, I tend to go into periods when I buy a lot of movies. But I never collected a lot of VHS, mostly DVDs because of space. And when around 2000, when I was like 14, 15, was when DVDs kind of came out and everything was just cheaper on DVD. So.
Mm. Yeah, you love everything horror, but do you ever get scared watching them?
Movies, not so much. Mm. Games still get me though.
Oh, games. Yeah. Do you play like VR too?
Yes, I played VR. But
that sounds so scary.
Yeah. I mostly play on the PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
But every once in a while, a movie gets me a little bit, but usually not anymore because I'm just too into it and, you know, I've seen so much stuff. But games still get me. I think it's because they keep you on your toes a little bit more than a movie can in the same sense.
Yeah. Wow. I need to experience that. I have no idea, but I've heard that this game exists. And yeah, it must like, be so scary.
Because I remember, I think the first horror game I tried in VR, I think, was the Resident Evil 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I got the PlayStation VR as a gift. And I remember trying that VR demo, and it was absolutely terrifying because in that demo, you are tied to a chair, so you can't move. And
the characters
are really up in your face the entire time.
Oh, no.
And it's really intense. I remember.
Oh, no, but how do you play the game? You shoot them?
Because that's just a demo. More like a virtual kind of experience, but then you can play the game in it. So they usually go about it, either you have a controller in your hand or you have like move controllers. So you have one controller in each hand and they operate like your hands separately.
Ooh.
And then you have the headset to like watch around.
Wow. I think I'm so easy to get tricked. So I think if I play that, I would really think that I'm there.
Yeah, I think that's the really fun part, and I think that both became like the niche for the VR. Like, I think horror was a really good genre for VR.
Oh yeah, it's too scary. Wow. I wanted to ask you, when you were young,
mm-hmm.
like, what scared you the most? Were you afraid of dark or blood or?
Like... I understand exactly what you mean. So as a kid, I was afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was very easily frightened, especially from like shadows, sounds, like stuff like this. We did a lot of camping when I was younger and stuff like that. I was in the Boy Scouts and everything. But then as I got like a fascination for it, it was like, you know, I'm afraid of it, but I want to see what it is at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's how everything started. Because I remember, so my first love for horror was Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th franchises.
Mm-hmm.
So I got really into the, those movies and collecting those masks and everything, like, very early on.
Mm.
And then kind of that horror, that hockey mask kind of stuck with me. So I found the Splatterhouse games, if you know what those are. Main character also have that, the hockey mask from Jason and stuff like that. So kind of stuck with that kind of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, and I remember the Blair Witch Project was also one of those movies that scared me a lot. Because it was kind of like, fake documentary kind of horror movies.
Uh-huh.
Those are usually pretty good because then you end up with the thing of, is it real, is it not real?
I think there is some difference between Japanese horror and Western horror. I'm American. Like Americans, they like the monsters and characters and shocking values. But Japanese horrors, we used to make a lot of like really like not so, how do you say, lousy, like quiet, scary movies similar to Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
We had them all the time. And then that was brought to America. And I think that these kind of Japanese movies influenced Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think so. You have one director, I believe his name is Koji Chirashi. He does a lot of those kind of movies that is like, I believe the term is like mockumentary. So it's like it's like a documentary, but it's, you know, it's not real.
Yeah,
and he does a lot of those movies, and they are really effectful for being kind of like lower in budget in terms of stuff like that.
Right.
They sell it on the premise of, okay, this could be potentially be real because it's shot like from somebody's point of view.
Yeah, and handycam. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, these feel realistic and scary. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I wanted to know if you were scared as a kid because it's the same for me. I was really afraid of everything too. And as you said, like, that's why I love scary stuff now, too. There's a fascination with something scary.
Yeah. I feel the same. Like, and I always feel like whenever there's something scary or morbid or, like, out of the ordinary weird, and it's just something that I found it's more interesting and resonate with me more. So, I think it's the same. You just, like, you know, it becomes more curious when it's something that's scary and weird rather than something that's, you know, completely normal.
Yes, exactly. We talked about the difference between Japanese and American horrors. Maybe it's going to be too long, but can you walk me through, like, the genres of horror?
So there is a lot of different genres. You have the classic slasher one, when you have, like, either... It's usually not supernatural kind of vibe to a slasher movie. There is obviously like slasher icons like Freddy and Jason that is, you know, a paranormal, but usually it's just a crazy guy that completely snapped and go on a killing spree for a reason. It can be anything really. And then you have the kind of body horror in terms of like The Fly and something like that, when there's a lot of kind of like things happening to somebody's body. And it usually a lot of can be like viruses or diseases or metamorphosis and stuff like that. You also have like Tetsuo, the Iron Man, the Japanese horror movie that's also like that, when he's completely morphing to something completely different.
Tetsuo.
And then you have, you know, the more like classic haunted places. It could be like a house or something like that. There is like ghosts. Let's see. I'm just looking at my collection here. And then you obviously have the zombie ones. And in the zombie spectrum, you have the classic zombie movies. And then you have infected people, which they're not dead yet, but they're still, you know, acting completely crazy and ridiculous. Yeah. And then you have a more like an angle that's not so common anymore, but when you have like the voodoos, like the people that are like mind controlled, like zombies. Because I feel like that kind of angle of zombie movies is not that common anymore. Because after you got kind of the popularity of the zombie genre again after the Walking Dead series, you go back to the kind of Romero classic way of the zombie movies. And then you obviously have like stuff that is like a creature feature, when you have like a big scary monster, and then can be everything from like, you know, Frankenstein's monster to a sea monster or whatever. I really, and like then you have something that's not very common anymore, but it used to be a lot before, when it's like animal horror movies, like one big animal or like one animal that maybe has mutated for some reason and stuff like that. Like piranha, and you usually have a lot of shark and alligator movies.
Yeah, anacondas.
Yeah, anaconda as well.
Yeah.
But those are not that common anymore, because I don't think that people find them, that can take them seriously anymore.
Right, but I like them.
yeah, I really love them. There's piranha is one of my all-time favorites, for example. Yeah. What do you like?
I work at the reptile shop sometimes, and I got to clean the tank of piranhas.
Yeah.
Like, I stick my hand into the tank of piranhas and just grab the glass walls. Piranhas, they get scared. Like, if I'm not bleeding, they don't come attack me. They just, So, like, they just stay away. I became so cool when I got to be able to do this. Like, oh, I'm cleaning the tank of piranhas.
Cool. Do you work there often?
Sometimes.
Because I've seen a lot of pictures when you're visiting with the little pig now and everything.
Yes, that's a really cool place with lots of alien heads and
Like the interior is amazing.
Mm-hmm. The last question is if you watch like real shocking videos, like non-fake snuff movies, or like shocking movies that are on the internet.
I know there will just be a lot of stuff like that when kind of I started having it, and then I've been going back and forth. Once in a while, I knew it was pictures of, you know, real executions and stuff like that. But lately, I don't have a personal computer anymore. I just have the work computer, so I try to keep it. Otherwise, it's on my phone, so I try to keep it a little bit cleaner now. But and every time I hear about like a video like that, it's like when you hear something like, oh, especially if they say don't watch this, then it's like, oh, I have to watch it. So, yeah.
Me too. I get scared when I watch them, but if I don't watch them, but I only know that those kind of video exist, or I just see thumbnail, it gets better that I watch it and know what it is than just keep on wondering what's going on there. Like, oh, like I want to watch it, but I can't. And I just think about it all the time.
Yeah.
No, it's better just watch it.
I completely understand. I'm exactly the same. You just feel the urge to like, I just want to watch a little bit, maybe just a little.
So today I have a little very short story, and you have one too. Which one should go first?
I can go first if you want.
Okay.
I'm just going to see if I can switch it, because I'm on my phone, so I just have my notes on the other one.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Okay. Can you still see me and hear me?
I can't see you, but I can hear you.
Okay, that's good. That's good, because I'm just switching to my other one.
Okay.
So this is quite a recent case. It's from 2010.
Oh, good.
And this took place in a little Swedish town called Skara on the 12th of November.
And is it what part of Sweden? Is it south or up?
It's a little south, more towards Göteborg, Gothenburg.
Oh, okay. Because I used to live in Skåne.
Oh, so even Helsingborg. Further south.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's more
north. Skara has this really famous kind of summer amusement park land you can go to and like rent cabin, and they have stuff for, it's very common to go there during summer and summer holidays and stuff like that. For this case, let's start with, in this apartment lived a couple. The couple's name was Isakin Jonsson and Helle Christiansen. They had been seeing each other for a couple of years, and outward it would look like they were having a happy and a harmonic relationship. Helle, which is the woman, had previously worked at an elder care, but was now on like permanent kind of sick leave. The friends and family thought there was kind of like something weird going on with the guy she was seeing, but she was always saying like everything is fine, even though they saw her sometimes with bruises and stuff like that. And then the night of the incident, it was a cold fall evening in November. The couple was home in the apartment. The woman had just gone to bed. She was sleeping on an inflatable mattress. And the guy was sitting on the couch and he was having a beer. And then suddenly he just snapped. He rushed into the kitchen and then he returns with a huge knife. From nowhere, he jumps on top of the woman and he stabs the inflatable mattress. And she is obviously grabbed by panic. He raises the knife and then he stabs her in the throat.
Oh.
She dies within seconds. And what comes next is the kind of more morbid and creepier part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
He then decides to cut off her head. He picks up the head and goes into the kitchen, put it on the kitchen counter.
Oh.
And then he gets another thought and he thinks, I wonder what human flesh really tastes like.
Mm.
So he goes back into the corpse of the woman, starts cutting off pieces, goes back into the kitchen and starts cooking the pieces.
Oh, wow.
And after he's done, he calmly calls the 2, which is our kind of 911. He tells the police exactly what has like happened and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrive at the scene. They see, you know, the grisly, horrifying scene of everything that's going on. They arrest the guy calmly. He's just taken to psychiatric care.
Mm-hmm.
This is known as the Cannibal of Skara.
I didn't know there was a cannibal in Sweden in 2010. I never heard of that.
That's good. You learned something new.
Yeah. Because Sweden, you don't have lots of murders. Like,
they're very rare.
You don't carry very guns. Rare. No.
No. So everything has to be very, you know. I think everything that is gun is gang related. Because for normal people, it's very, you know, it's very hard to get the hold of a gun.
Yes.
But I think it's in like more criminal circles, especially when it's due to drugs, because I know drugs is a huge problem in Sweden specifically.
Mm.
I think there are more guns around kind of that kind of violence because of, you know, the money that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you have like these gruesome kind of cases going on.
Yeah. Wow.
I had a couple, like a side note of like a also kind of weird case that happened, but where my ex-wife is living, in the ATM, like walking distance from her, there was also a guy that escaped from a psych ward and just stabbed somebody to death.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
He was on the escape?
Yeah. And it's really weird because I remember hearing that or like reading about that, and it's like, it sounds like a premise to like a horror movie, when it sounds so unreal when you just hear something like this.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Well, thank you so much for the story, because on the Death Radio we were just doing this series of cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so yeah, another cannibal story. That's so cool to hear. Yeah. Okay, my story here, it's very short, and I think you know it too.
Mm-hmm.
It was big. Do you have a religion?
No, I'm not religious at all.
Okay, how about your parents?
No, my dad has always been really against the church as well, because he think that like how the church is in general, you know, very like controlling and demanding and stuff like that. Sweden in general is very like, I would say, very non-religious kind of country. Mm-hmm. In general, especially not pushy on it. Doesn't feel like it's like a thing really here.
Right.
I know there's a lot of more like when we get like immigrants to build like other churches and stuff like uh-huh. this, then it becomes like a topic again. But I feel like it's never been really a thing. The only thing I encountered, like the church essentially growing up, was when you had like, you know, the last day of school before Christmas, we usually went to uh-huh. the church but then we didn't do, you know, like psalms or like religious songs specifically. Mm. It was like basic Christmas songs anyway. But we were just meeting at this church essentially.
I see. Yeah, that's one thing I noticed too. It's like that in Japan too. My parents were not religious, and I really like that part of Sweden.
Yeah. And I really like that, like, in general, because I feel like, you know, the more open-minded you are, the easier it's going to be. So.
Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Japan, and I studied abroad in America when I was in high school. And the biggest culture shock there was the religion. You know, mm-hmm. there are like...
I can really imagine that. Where in America were you?
I first went to Indiana State, so which mm-hmm. is a very conservative place, and everyone seems to be Christians.
How was that for you coming as a foreigner?
I didn't feel like I was discriminated because I was Asian or anything, but I felt that I was discriminated because I was non-religious. And people go like, oh, you don't believe in God? I was like, what is God? I never heard of that. Like,
I
don't know. What is it? And they were like, oh, no, you're going to hell. I'm like, okay, that's nice. Yeah, so it was a really big culture shock to me.
I can really imagine that. I mean, I have never had anybody question my beliefs in that sort of way ever.
Yeah.
Like me growing up, I've always been like a punk, hanging with people that nobody believes in anything. It's all being like complete chaos, everything. So it's like, nobody gives a shit about anything. So it's fine. So nobody has really kind of questioned that, really. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like going into the kind of line of work I've always been doing, like nobody's really cared about anything like that. Yeah. Or it's been very strict on anything. So I feel like I've been like very... let off easily. It could have been so much worse going into like a proper company, having like, you know, proper kind of suit job and everything, and everything could have been so much different. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, and it's the same, like, you know, me being also like covered in like tattoos all over my hands and everything, like nobody's ever like said anything or stuff like that.
That is
except
so good.
Except the one time, and that was when my first son was born. And how the nurse afterwards kind of talked to me and my wife, as they were really like talking down to us.
Mm.
I remember at that point, and it felt so weird because it literally felt like it came out of nowhere.
Mm. Maybe she was Christian.
Yeah,
that's why she was mean.
Most likely.
Yeah, so same here in Japan, it's very normal to be atheist. And like, if you're religious in Japan, people look at you, maybe people look down at you.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, that's like a cult. Yeah, so it's very different. And this story is about that. I'm talking about this because our former prime minister, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated mm-hmm. by a crazy man.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw that. It's
it's really like shocking news.
It really was, because one thing, we don't have guns. Mm-hmm. So that was.
And he was shot, right?
Yes, he was shot to death. And this crazy guy, he used a handmade gun to shoot Abe today.
Oh, really?
Yes, while Abe was giving a speech in front of the station during the daytime, like 11:30 in the morning. And it wasn't in Tokyo, but it was in a much smaller city called Nara. So I don't know if that can be excused, but security guards there didn't do their jobs and let this happen.
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah. So the man who shot Abe, Tetsuya Yamagami, was arrested and told the police that he killed Abe because he hated that Abe had a connection with the Unification Church, which was a type of Christianity originated in Korea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was the reason. And he hates this Korean church because his mom was into it and used up all her money and went bankrupt.
Oh, it's one of those churches where you're supposed to give away all your money and be happy.
Yeah.
The more money you give, the happier you are, right?
Yep. I don't know how people can believe in that, but
no, it's just
his
ridiculous.
Mom was really into that church, and she really paid a lot of money to the church and had no money left, and this Yamagami guy hated it. It had been causing him troubles, so he thought killing a powerful man for this reason wakes people up and makes them to look at what evil things the church is doing. It is absolutely wrong of him to use the violence like that. And it was so shocking that Abe was killed by a gunshot during the daytime in front of many people, because gun violence is extremely rare in Japan, and it's same in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were all shocked by this incident and hated what happened. But things seem to be going well for Tetsuya Yamagami. Things are going as he wanted. Because as he wished, people and media started to talk about the Unification Church and their fishy relationships with the governors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. People started to talk shit about cults and religions openly on the street and on the TV. I kind of like how it is going. Like, the Unification Church had been famous for selling people expensive urns, like big flower faces, like holy urns. And they talked them into and made members believe urns were holy and they can be happy if they buy them. So they revealed that the cults were making money and making people pay contribution. Now it's a big topic in Japan. And
it's still going on, that topic as well.
Yes, it's still going on, and the governors are trying to like get off with it. Like, they're trying to hide the relationship they had with the cults. Because those religious people are so nice. They work for governors, like, campaigns for free. They do it for free. So governors get really good benefits from that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it. I get it. Okay. So they're kind of using it to their advantage, and now it's backfiring. So now everybody's like, oh, we know nothing. Okay.
Yes, yes,
like,
exactly.
Like always. Oh, my God, that's so crazy.
Yeah, so.
It's really interesting because this is the part when I have never heard about. I mean, I heard about the assassination and everything. And then, like, I felt like it kind of, especially for me, I'm not super into like news in general, so if something doesn't hit my, you know, Instagram feed or something like that, it kind of just dies out a little bit.
Right.
And I mean, I choose to have it that way because, like, you know, I choose to you know, pick my battles or whatever. Otherwise, I feel like in general, you know, media is just like, it's gonna oversell anything, and like half of it is just, you know, made up bullshit anyway, so I can't really take it anyway. And then I feel like the things they should be reporting on, they are not, because it's more important to report on, I don't know, something stupid. So, but it's really interesting to see that they had that cult ties as well.
Yeah.
I remember the only kind of side note from his assassination that I heard about was the, I think it was a Greek newspaper that leaked that Hideo Kojima was the assassin of what was the prime minister called?
Abe.
Abe. Did you hear about that?
No, never heard of that. Who is he?
Hideo Kojima. He's a really famous game developer in Japan. He has his own studio, Kojima Productions. They had like found a picture of him wearing the kind of Russian hat.
Oh, he looks like one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then for some reason, they tied that to the assassination of Abe. And they even, I think even the studio went so far into making like a lawsuit against the newspaper for it.
Yeah, he looks like Yamagami, the murderer.
Yeah. So they like did not, they just decided it was him. So it was like, nice.
So many fake news out there. So.
Yeah, and I feel like it's like always something like that coming up. So
yeah,
that's like, I always feel like you read one thing, and then you're just like, okay, now I have to double check it in like four or five places to know if it's actually true.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's even worse when you're living in kind of a smaller country like, you know, Sweden. So I feel like, you know, what we get is like, okay, where we buy the news from. So
like
not much is happening here. So
And
now everything in Sweden is kind of overshadowed about that it's election year. So everything else is, you know, kind of goes away because now it's election. So
there's a funny meme I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the picture of Buddha, or it's like some old man who looks very wise, saying, it's only when mosquito lands on your testicles that you realize not everything can be solved by violence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have you seen that?
That's very true.
Oh, yeah, we're a fan of violence, but I don't know. I love violent stories, like really horrible stuff happening to people. Like, I like to watch it. But when it comes to like the violence towards my friends or so people I know, then I would hate it. So I'm very...
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same, but then you keep your circle of friends close and then everything outside of it doesn't really matter. So.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, I'm glad this happened.
Yes,
finally.
Me too. And I have another story prepared for the next episode if you have me on again.
Oh, really? Oh, let's do it again. Yes,
because I was picking between two. So.
Oh, really? Oh, is it a Swedish story?
Yes, and it's a cult.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, next time.
But they have to do a little more research into it because it's like, and this case was quite famous because it happened when I was 18, I think. Yeah, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also quite recent, but it was a huge thing in media, I remember.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it became a hint to make Midsommar the movie because it's
maybe
about Swedish cult. I'm curious.
But yes, I will prepare that for the next time around.
Yeah, okay. Let's end this recording for the Death Radio. I'm always so bad at saying, like, wrapping it up.
You have to find, like, a catchphrase that you can say towards the end.
Right. I have that in Japanese for the Japanese version of Death Radio. But in English, I'm so bad at it. I don't have any opening or ending words to you. What should I say? But thank you so much for coming, Dennis.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was super much. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, I was. Jag är så glad.
Så jätteglad. Det var jätteroligt.
Ja, det var jätteroligt. Tack så mycket. Så vi ses igen.
Ja, det gör vi. Ha det så jättebra. Hej då.
Hej då.